You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. In today's episode, we're doing another principle related to the reflecting feelings pillar. And we've covered three so far that all tie into reflecting feelings. We will have a few more before we move on to principles that relate to choice giving. But while we're still in the reflecting feelings pillar, the principle for today is feelings are always valid, even if the behavior is not acceptable. So I think this one probably is more practical for the playroom than some of the other ones. I think some of the other ones are a little bit more philosophical in nature. In other words, here's why reflective responding works, right? So it'll help a child feel understood and it'll diffuse the intensity of the feeling. Those are kind of theoretical and philosophical in nature. This one is really applicable even in the playroom. So yes, it serves as kind of this principle that undergirds a lot of what we do, but there are going to be plenty of times in the playroom where the behavior is out of control and you are just like, oh my gosh, I have to set a limit on this. I can't deal with it anymore. But the piece that has to be included before we set the limit is the awareness that the feeling is always valid. Hey, really quickly, I want to interrupt the podcast just to briefly tell you about an opportunity. We currently have two openings at our center in the Tampa Bay area in Florida, and we are looking to pivot our center a little bit to become a world-renowned training facility for child-centered play therapists. So if you are ambitious, if you even consider the possibility of moving to Florida, we would love to have you. We have at least two openings. We are really looking to crank out the best of the best in the way of child-centered play therapists. And because we're a private practice office, you'll not only get training on being the best child-centered play therapist directly from me, you'll also get training in being the best private practitioner play therapist directly from me. So we're really excited about this. Even if this is a remote possibility, even if you're barely considering it, please shoot me an email. I would love to talk more with you. I'd love to find out how we could make this work. Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. If you come and if you train under me at the center, it's paid. You'll make good money. You get great training in play therapy and in private practice. And the goal is to crank you out so that you can start your own private practice and make good money doing what you love and being extremely well-trained. So we would love to explore this more with you. If you're interested, please reach out to me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. So I feel like this is a little bit of a hybrid because this can stretch to the reflecting feeling pillar, but it can also stretch to the limit setting pillar because we want to validate the child's feelings. Because they're always valid. Even when a child is screaming, even when a child is cussing, even when a child is chucking things at your head, even when a child just made you bleed, even when they refuse to come out of the playroom, even when they refuse to come back to the playroom, when you have to go get them in the parking lot because they won't get out of the back seat. Whatever the scenario is, feelings are always valid. And we use the reflecting feelings pillar in that moment. So go back to the be with attitudes. I'm here, I hear you, I understand, and I care. And I want you to feel validated because your feelings are valid. So that is a big component when we are in a scenario in the playroom where the behavior is not acceptable. However, the behavior is not acceptable and warrants a limit. When we talked through the limit setting pillar, if you are new, please go back and catch up. If you want a refresher, I think it's always helpful to listen more than once. The limit setting, we talked about, there are questions that we have to ask ourselves. Is this limit necessary? Can I allow this behavior to continue and still fully accept this child? And is this limit consistently enforceable? So if the behavior has gotten to a point where you're asking yourselves those questions and you're saying, I cannot allow this behavior to continue and still accept this child, or yes, this limit is necessary because I'm now bleeding from a Hot Wheel that got chucked at my temple. Okay? So whatever the scenario is, we have these moments where we're saying, okay, the behavior is no longer acceptable. That's when we use our limit setting process. We acknowledge the feeling, we communicate the limit, we offer the alternative. However, we can't do that without the reflecting feelings piece. Because what parents and adults in a child's life will almost always do is go straight to the rule. And what people that try to be a little more gentle in their parenting will do is go straight to the limit. But almost always, the reflecting of feeling is missed. So you either get, do not throw things at me. So that's the one that goes straight to the limit. The gentler approach is, I am not for throwing things at you. You can throw it at that instead. But in both scenarios, the child doesn't feel that his feelings have been validated. He needs to hear you say, you are really wanting to get some anger out. You are really mad at me. You think it is so fun to throw those cars as hard as you can. You want to make dents in the wall to show how strong you are. Now, it doesn't mean that any of those scenarios, the behavior is okay. But the child needs to feel that they are heard and understood and accepted and validated, because the feelings are always valid. So when we set the limit, we have to be very careful that we don't forget to acknowledge the feeling, because that happens everywhere in a child's life. And the antidote to that is in the playroom. Their feelings are acknowledged all the time, even when behavior needs to be addressed. Because what that does is, it communicates unconditional acceptance. Second of all, it preserves the relationship and the trust. And third, it helps the child learn to self-regulate. Because when a child feels completely heard, completely validated, completely accepted, then they will start saying, I don't really want to do that anymore. Because they know that it's self-defeating. That's the whole premise upon which child-centered model is built, is that a child instinctively understands why they struggle and what they struggle with. They just don't know how to fix it. Kids know they're dysregulated. Kids know they're angry. Kids know that they don't control themselves. Kids know they don't obey. This isn't a shock to anyone. So when they're in the room and you constantly communicate, your feelings are always valid. That creates the environment in which they're able to learn how to self-regulate and to self-control, because they learn, I'm accepted no matter what, and they always understand what I'm feeling. My therapist always understands what I'm feeling. And sometimes she has to set a limit on what I do, but she always understands how I feel, and therefore I'm choosing to behave in more self-enhancing ways now. It's amazing. The process is so... it's really thrilling to watch, quite honestly, because when you have a completely out of control, dysregulated kid week one, and then by week 10, all of a sudden they throw their arm back like they're going to throw something, and then they look at you and smile and put their arm down. That is an absolutely celebratory moment, because the child just learned to self-control. And that doesn't happen unless the child feels heard and validated. So feelings are always valid, even if the behavior isn't acceptable. So please be aware of how those two work together. The limit does not come without the reflection of feeling, because they work in tandem, just like the web that we talked about before. Everything works together, and it's really important. So we will continue on the reflecting feelings principles track for a few more, and then we will start moving into the choice-giving principles. And just to kind of vision cast a little bit, there are probably 15 to 20 principles that we're going to cover together. And then after we finish all of the principles, obviously tied to the pillar that it, you know, it makes the most sense to do, then we will also have the transition into the habits, because we had to start with the four skills, which are the pillars. Then we move into the principles that refer to the skills. And then we have habits. And the habits are the ways that we practically implement all of these principles and skills that we've learned. So that's kind of the trajectory. I want you to kind of see where we're going and have a vision for how this is going to unfold. And then after that, we're going to get into tons more things. We're going to get into themes and stages and all kinds of other great things. But we're starting off with things that make the most impact as far as your foundational training. And then we move into kind of higher up things that support. So can't wait to continue with these principles. I hope that you're finding them helpful. You can always shoot me an email, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I'd love to hear from you. And I look forward to talking with you again next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.